Number six. Sarah, if you would be so kind as to call the roll.
Rusty Warkey.
Yes.
Brian Rowell.
Here.
Andrew Benjamin.
Here.
Troy Berkshire.
Here.
John Merrill.
Here.
Is Polar Bear actually technically
86 in there? Okay. Well, you know. No longer remember about that.
Like a sabbatical, I believe.
No.
Carl Kohler. No.
Here.
Peter Flintz.
Here.
Roberta Marshall.
Here.
Jeff Pettis.
Thank you. We obviously have a quorum. Three bits of housekeeping. One, we'd appreciate it if all cell phones were silenced or off. Two, there should be a sign-up sheet. We would appreciate people signing in.
Oh, we should.
And the third item is these proceedings are open to the public to call into.
I'm not
Who are
sure
we on?
No,
I'm going to check our mics.
Troy.
You might want to check our mics for you.
We got you, Sarah. No, no.
This is on. This is on.
On.
Speaking of mics.
So, because these proceedings are available to the public to monitor via telephone, the only way it really works well is if we use the microphones, number one, and number two. In terms of the public, we'd appreciate it if you use the lectern. Thank you. First order of business on the agenda, public comment. Anyone wishing to address the commissioners on any topic that is not on the agenda, now would be the time to do so. Seeing none, we're moving right along. Approval of the minutes of September 20th. Any corrections, changes, deletions, additions, blah, blah, blah?
I was not at the meeting, but I think I noticed a typo. Page 6, specific condition 14E, second line says neighbors and property permitting. It should just be proper permitting.
A, B, C, D.
And maybe property is correct. I guess I wasn't at the meeting. So.
You said E?
E, second line, neighbors and property permitting. I think maybe it should just be proper permitting.
I think, yeah, it's proper permitting. Proper permitting. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right,
Carl.
Right. Okay. So scratch the Y. Any other changes? Might there be a motion to approve the minutes with the change noted?
So moved.
Thank you, Andy. Second?
Second.
Troy? All those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, nay, no. Minutes are approved. On to probably the world's shortest set of minutes. One page and a paragraph. Again, any comments, corrections, deletions, additions?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Brian.
Second.
Thank you, Andy. All those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item for consideration, 20 Miles Stoker Coal Hall SUP renewal. Do we have folks from?
Yeah.
If you, any comments you wish to make to the commission, now would be the time to do so. And don't be embarrassed if you want to be brief, okay?
Kind of a snowy night. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. Not a lot to say. We really are not making any major changes. There were some additional conditions that were added, and I had comments on several of the conditions. Is this the appropriate time to go ahead and address those?
Yes, it is, actually.
Okay. All right. General condition number 9, which we control. I know that that's a general condition, and it may be that it's put in all the permits. I just note that given the nature of proposed activities, it really is not necessarily applicable. So I don't know if that needs to stay in as boilerplate, that's fine. Otherwise, I'd be appropriate to remove that one.
Okay. My sense is it's boilerplate, but we'll let staff respond to that.
Okay. All right. Special condition number 11, permit term. When we came in with our application, we had requested a 5-year term. When I went back and looked at our permits, our mining permit, which basically is tied to this, the last time it was renewed for 10 years. We anticipate that we will be mining for 10 years. So it seems that this special use permit, because if we're mining, we're hauling coal, it might be appropriate to go ahead and show a 10-year term on this. And so I propose that for the commission's consideration. The next one I have is specific condition 12. Staff in their staff report had recommended that we've had this permit in place for a number of years. It's been working well. Really no problems. Staff recommended that in the future, permit renewal be handled as an administrative approval. We support that. One condition that they put on that is if there were complaints or concerns, then it could be called up. But we're fully in support of that recommendation. Specific condition number 18, we looked at that. Our coal hauling contractor has mostly 35-ton trucks, but they've got a few 38, and we would like to change that figure to 38 so that we're in full compliance. Then specific condition number 21, and let me just go to that so I have the correct wording. As I read it, it is it's two sentences. The tail end of the second sentence says, this is the cost-sharing provision, says, we'll share in the cost of road maintenance based on the previous year's actual truck usage and tonnage hauled of all outstanding special use permits for hauling on County Road 27. Well, at this point, we are the only ones with coal hauling special use permits. We have one for 20 Mile, we have one for Sage Creek. However, looking at that, I'm wondering if something else came up that there was a special use permit for haulage on 27, that might kind of muddy the water. I would recommend on that condition where it says of all outstanding, going ahead and just putting Peabody in there. Because we don't want to be paying for somebody else. Then the only other one that I have a comment on is specific condition number 27. This is a new one, and I would suggest that it probably is duplicative of condition 21 and really not necessary based on the history and experience. We have been good stewards in working with the county on the maintenance, road maintenance reimbursement. We have done that on a regular basis, and that seems to be working fine. I think Road and Bridge is comfortable with that, and so I would recommend that we look at condition 27 as a duplicative condition. Maybe consider removing that. So those are the only comments or questions I have. And I'll be available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alan. I have one question. There's a couple in here. You have to be a little bit careful that you don't substantially and significantly change that which was advertised or not?
Excuse me?
Do we need to be concerned about changing conditions that were in place previously, and is that some type of a violation of a noticing provision?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then
because we process renewals fairly regularly that have changes to the conditions, and that's what the whole public process is about.
Then we're interested to hear your comments on some of the suggested changes.
Okay. So I just want to go through what the actual permit is for. And so it's for hauling of coal from 20 Mile Spoidle Creek Mine north on County Road 27 to Highway 40. It's a 14-mile stretch of road. They are currently allowed to haul up to 500,000 tons of coal annually. They're limited to 55 trips per day, averaged out over a monthly period. As Jerry said, there is one other haul permit on County Road 27. That's for the Sage Creek haul, but y'all aren't utilizing
it. We have not been utilizing that.
Yeah.
Sage Creek is not active. And realistically, looking at our operations, we have ramped down to the Wolf Creek scene. We've got about 10 years of mining there. And we would have not anticipate hauling under the Sage Creek permit until kind of the end of that line. It probably would be a transition where we're ramping one down, ramping the other up. But until that point in time, we don't anticipate that activity.
So Public Works, which used to be Road and Bridge, did not have any concerns with the application. Their only comment was that all conditions of approval continue to apply. So with those conditions that Jerry had some questions and suggestions about, I think it would be best to consult with Road and Bridge before any of those conditions are changed. This is a special use permit, so your decision tonight is a recommendation to the board, so staff can certainly follow up with Public Works to talk with them about those changes and provide that information to the commissioners at the commissioner's hearing. The Hayden School District responded that they were okay with the existing condition concerning the busing of students that live on County Road 27. Commissioner Brookshire had questions about conflicts between wildlife and other motorists that use County Road 27. I got in touch with CPW, and they said wildlife conflicts are minimal. He was actually surprised at how little the wildlife conflicts are on County Road 27. I got in touch with State Patrol, and he didn't have the numbers in front of him, but he did not sound like he had any concerns with it either. Again, I will follow up with him prior to the Board of County Commissioners hearing just to confirm that. Staff reviewed the application for compliance with the existing conditions of approval and did not identify any issues. There have been from time to time where some coal is spilled on County Road 27, but those are communicated with Public Works in the required amount of time, and those are addressed by Public Works. And then as far as those other conditions of approval go, like I said, I would like to speak with Public Works just to get their input on these changes. The weed condition, that is boilerplate, but if I can understand how that specific or that condition would not apply to this operation. And then as far as the time period of the permit, 5 years has always been the term of the permit. So that's what staff went with this permit. So the fee schedule allows renewals that have no requested change in conditions to be processed at half of the price of the original permit. So a special use permit in this case is $1,500, or I think it was $800, so we only charged them $400. So through that, they did not have the ability to request changes to the conditions of approval. But I would like to discuss that with Chad before I give any type of opinion on that. And again, we can present that information to the Board of County Commissioners.
So are we just deferring this?
Based on my comments, it sounds like it, yeah.
But you it's not. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
Commissioners, questions for either the petitioner or staff?
Alan, I'm kind of confused. The second paragraph, last sentence talks about 343 loads per day.
First page, is it?
First page, second paragraph, last sentence, the second to last sentence. So we're talking about 55/110 trips versus 343.
Isn't that the Sage Creek?
It's a separate
permit that's closed. The second paragraph.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so that paragraph that you were referencing is for the Sage Creek permit. That's what's currently allowed through the Sage Creek haul permit.
Okay, thank you. And then for the petitioner, it talks about under the conditions, the speed monitoring technology.
Yes.
And apparently there hasn't been any violations, because I'm assuming if there was, it'd be reported to staff. So I guess I'm wondering, speak a little bit about how you monitor the speed and how it works.
You know, we have a trucking contractor, and my understanding, this came up some time ago. There was, I think, in the first permit, we had some concerns about the trucks running fast on the road. And so the condition on the speed monitoring, I think numbering the trucks, a couple other things, were plugged into the permit. We started out, the original permit had 19 conditions, I believe, and this one has 29. So it's in terms of conditions, it's grown considerably. The speed monitoring, my understanding was the technology, they had something that basically they have, I think they have governors on the truck so that they can only go so fast. And then they also had something that was set up that could basically would record their speed. And if we had an incident where they were speeding whatever, then we could go back with the trucking firm. The trucking firm could go back, check that, and if the driver said, no, I wasn't speeding, and they could check that and say, well, you were. So that's my understanding of the speed monitoring. And I think they've been pretty conscientious about trying to maintain reasonable speeds here.
But who does it then? Who monitors that results?
I think the trucks are you know, basically self-monitoring. They have that on them. And basically, it's if we have a complaint or a concern, then we can follow up on it and address that with the driver and the trucking company.
This is for you or Alan or anybody, I guess. At 45 miles an hour, do we know the stopping distance of those trucks?
You know, I don't know the answer to that right off the top of my head. I think when we originally got this permit, we had, I forget the name of the firm, but they did basically a trucking study, and they had some of that information that we provided to basically the Planning Commission and the County Commissioners in terms of the speeds and so on. The speeds are set up, as I understand, for the road for normal traffic, and takes into account site distances and so on, and so weather conditions. And so that's set up by the county in terms of posting the speeds, safe speeds for the road.
This topic really comes about upon my personal observations. It's an opinion. There's no basis, or I have no empirical evidence. But my experience, or I have seen what I thought were the loaded trucks headed north, you know, traveling fairly rapidly for what they are, for a 35 or a 38-ton truck. And so that's how this originates. I don't have a specific instance. I just, when I read the packet, I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's appropriate for the county, or the, if you wanted to make a recommendation to the board to say, you know, you can put up some signs and reduce the speed on these trucks for whatever it is, 18 miles, 14 miles, you said.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm coming from. So.
Okay. And, you know, I hear what you're saying in terms of concern with the trucks traveling fast on the road. We have, for that toll haul, basically we paid to rebuild the road, and that included the passing lanes there so that the trucks would not cause congestion. You know, you could go ahead and put a lower speed limit for trucks. I think the concern there would be that then you might be interfering with normal traffic on that road. So I don't know. It's kind of a balance there.
And I think that's a good point. You'd hate to create an impediment to the normal passenger vehicle, but I'll leave it at that. If anybody else wants to discuss it, I would certainly be in favor of it.
As part of your answer to Commissioner Brookshire, you mentioned that you can use this device to check the speed if there's an incident.
Mm-hmm.
What I wonder is there ever any monitoring on a day-to-day basis of this device checking the speeds, even if there was no incident? I mean, there's a preventive issue here, too.
Yeah. That I don't know. I can't answer that.
I mean, the same device should be able, I assume it's kind of connected to the GPS or something, but I assume that the same device that you would check, as you say, in case of an incident, could give you a spreadsheet on what the speeds were in a given run on any given day.
Yeah, I don't know what.
And that would answer Commissioner Brookshire's observation.
Yeah, I don't know what the capabilities of the system are. What I can say is this permit's been in place for 5 years. We don't have any complaints from people driving the road. To my knowledge, there haven't been any tickets issued, and we've had no accidents. And so I think, in some sense, that speaks for itself.
Well, it just doesn't answer my question.
Okay.
John, I think it's a black box.
So it could check the speeds, even if there was no accident.
Well, yeah, but you got to download it and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, how tough is that?
I don't think it's tough at all, but
no.
I don't know.
But what are you trying to achieve by this? Like he was saying, they have a good record. I mean, the sheriff's department would be able to know to.
Yeah, but if people are speeding, even if they haven't had an accident yet, speed can lead to accidents.
Well, and I think as much money as they put into rebuilding this road, there's still, you know, contours and perhaps blind corners. Topographical hills, and it's an undulating type of road. And I mean, as I understand this, Gary, that this is primarily contractors. These aren't employees. Your employees, they're people that are hauling that coal out of here.
Right. They work for the hauling contractor. That's correct.
Yeah, and you know, and I think the local community may, I mean, they've been doing it for 5 years probably, but I don't know. It's a sensitive thing for me. And I think that when those things are loaded and they're traveling, it's you don't want any wildlife or wildlife or whatever on that road. And I'll toss it out there, and maybe this discussion will just have the board look at it and see what they want to do.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Question for staff. On towards the bottom of page 3 of 15, there's a comment that a condition of approval is suggested, adjusting the noise standard. It has prior conditions of approval never mentioned the noise standard? I assume that 9.2.E is not a brand new thing.
It's not. It's condition. Sir, you're asking which condition it is that addresses it?
That's a comment to applicable regulations on page 3 of 15.
Okay.
About in the middle.
Okay.
And then the comment in bold print suggests that a condition of approval involved that. And I'm just surprised it hadn't been there before, along with exhaust, vibration, etc.
Well, it had. So if you look at all the specific conditions, or look at all of the conditions, if it's in regular type, it's an existing condition. If it's bolded, it's new language that's suggested to be added. And if it's stricken, it's old language it's language that's suggested to be deleted.
But is it, in fact, in the general condition or the specific conditions that we're being asked to approve?
Yes, number 25.
Which is a specific condition.
25 is a general muffling of noise. It is not as specific as 9.2. D, about the 150 feet, and the state of Colorado residential noise standards, which in fact I don't know what they are, right?
I think residential is 55 decibels in between 7.
Again, my point is, has that been specifically in the conditions before? Specifically, 150, state of Colorado decibel thing, or should we put it in tonight?
I mean, there is the general condition that states shall comply with all federal, state, and local laws and regulations. So that is an umbrella condition that encompasses that.
Okay, well, you or someone of your colleagues on page 3 of 15 suggested addressing the noise standard. That's all I'm saying. And I'm just wondering why aren't
I? In my opinion, we did address it, maybe not as specifically as you would expect.
Okay.
Going back to condition 21, where it talked about sharing the cost of road maintenance,
mm-hmm.
The intent of that is to share with who?
You know, I'm not entirely sure.
I can maybe clarify that.
If sure, I can. Go for it.
When we originally got this permit, basically in the review process, there were comments that said, okay, you're running heavy trucks, heavy loads on the county road, it's going to result in more wear and tear on the road. Okay, logical. We said, yeah, that's true. Said, we would like for you to share, you know, we had the original up front that we rebuilt the road, put in passing lanes and so on. But we said, yeah, we're fine with that. We recognize that that's a valid concern. And so what we do, we have worked with Road and Bridge to develop, and part of this permit, it's a separate agreement in terms of a shared road maintenance agreement. And what Road and Bridge has done is they look out basically on a 21-year cycle. They say, we've got a chip seal at 7, another chip seal at 14, we've got an overlay at 21. These are the costs associated with that. We also have regular maintenance, including striping, shoulder maintenance. There are several items that are part of the regular maintenance, crack filling, etc. And we need to cover kind of both of those, the long term and the short term. And so basically our agreement, we take a look at the number of trucks that we're running, the size of trucks that we're running. They do a traffic count every year, and we have essentially an equation that says, okay, our haulage is this percentage, and these are the maintenance costs, so this is the amount we should be paying. Just for your information, I have to go back and look, but we are paying roughly $60,000 a year on the regular maintenance, the short and long term, and it goes into an accrual account. So that money is available for the long-term maintenance and also to cover the short-term. And so we have been paying that for really since this permit was implemented.
So when you read that condition 21, you interpret that to mean share with the county?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Any other questions for either staff or the petitioner?
I just have one comment. I think that condition number 9, the standard condition on weeds, is probably because the permit requires the road to be repaired periodically if needed, determined by road and bridge. And so sometimes that repair might involve a small amount of grading, and I imagine that's why that's there. So I'd recommend leaving it. Other than that, I don't have any comments.
Any comments from the public? Hearing none, I'll close that part. So, unless, and maybe my comments are addressed to the petitioner as well as staff, there are a couple of changes that you have asked for. And I have a tendency to agree with staff that those changes actually require the input of Road and Bridge. And keeping that thought in mind, I think we're in a position, maybe the best thing to do is to defer a decision. Does that fit for you? I mean, sometimes...
What information?
I guess I would ask Alan, I don't know how that works. I think his permit expires at the end of December. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know whether there's constraints that are concerning there or not.
The 38-ton versus 35-ton is a road and bridge issue. And it's technical.
Just looking at the calendar.
I mean, I guess, so this is scheduled with the board on the 18th. One option would be to just, if your inclination is to recommend approval as the conditions are written. And
well, I was getting to that.
In the meantime, I can discuss with Public Works and include that the results of that discussion in the communication form to the board and let them make the decision.
And
that would keep it on time.
I mean, and again, I don't... Part of my comments are addressed to the petitioner as well as staff and actually all of us. There are some conditions that you've asked requested, I think, frankly, are somewhat irrelevant. The 10 years versus the 5 years, the renewal versus administratively. I do agree that the increase in the tonnage may or may not have an impact, and that's not something that I think we're in a position to decide.
In what way are you impacting the tonnage, the 35 to the 38?
Road maintenance.
But
it's a 10% increase in payloads. But they're, I don't know.
But they're only limited to the 55 tons per day, or they're limited to their day's average, monthly average of tonnage. So whether they get it done with a 35 or a 38, a 38 theoretically reduces trips.
The wheels.
May have less impact. I understand that you're saying that we might not have the technical ability, but I don't see the problem in recommending that consideration be, changing it to 35 to 38 pending road and bridge approval.
That's different. That's fine. That's what we're talking about.
That to me is, yeah. I think, is perfect.
Well, the other option, the other issue is Troy's issues about speed and have road and bridge. No?
Well, my thought was I was just going to, it's not a condition, but a pass it along to the board.
Okay.
Item.
Gotcha.
And if it's...
You're raising the issue.
I mean, there's not been any record of any problems, and I appreciate that. It's back to John's point, though, too, is I'd rather sort of look at it before there was a problem, perhaps. And it's the board's call.
Okay.
And I go, the opposite perception on all the times that I've traveled that road. I can count once or twice that I've actually encountered haul trucks. We traveled to Hayden to go fight our rival Tigers. And so we travel that route a couple times a year. Go to the airport periodically. Craig, we go to sporting events from Oak Creek, and 20 miles definitely the way that we go from Oak Creek. And I just haven't seen that much interaction with the trucks in general that I could even comment on what you were seeing.
Yeah, I probably traveled that 3 times a month, too. It's pretty much a deserted road.
I'm wondering when you actually haul. Like that, I more have the question of when they're getting it done. But you're talking about different instances and perception. And that's what is important, because if the trucks have governors on them, just like when we went on the mine tour, those trucks couldn't go over that governed speed with inside the mine. The only time that the governor might come into having a problem is when you're going down hills. You know, the weight of the truck is going to be making it going faster than the governor won't restrict that. So, yes, there could be times on downhill when they could be running at higher speeds.
So, commissioners, what's your pleasure?
I would not like to hold things up for them. Yeah. I think we have enough information that, and any questions that could be asked through Road and Bridge or Public Works, we can get the answers before the commissioner's hearing. So I think we should go ahead and make a recommendation tonight.
Good.
Agreed.
I would agree with that.
Okay. So, with that thought in mind, are we actually going to vote a recommendation? I guess we do, huh?
Yeah.
And let's be clear about this. So, in terms of the requests that have been made by the petitioner, we're taking the position that we'll consider, we recommend, a recommendation would be made with the existing language at 35 tons. However, staff is going to go to Road and Bridge and evaluate the considerations, reevaluate the impact of 38 ton. Correct? Mm-hmm. Do we have an issue with the substituting Peabody for all? I think so.
I think that's reasonable.
I'm thinking that we should probably just leave 27 in, even though it's duplicative or redundant or what have you. I'm also thinking 9 stays in as written, and I think in number 11 we're going to leave the 2023 in, the 5-year window, recognizing that the next permit is a renewal is administratively. Who's not in the head?
I would consider 10, me personally, but I'll go along with 5.
I'm with Andy. I would also go with changing it to 38 ton trucks too. I don't see a problem with doing that. It seems
Do you like a motion?
I would actually. I mean, just trying to lead people around here. It's like, not getting any place.
Chairman, I'd make a motion to approve activity number PL 18198, with the findings of fact 1 and 2 as written, general conditions 1 through 8 as written, delete number 9. Specific conditions 10 through 17 through 20 as written, 21 to be amended, the second comma to say, and will share with Route County in the costs of road maintenance. Then delete outstanding special use permits, replaced with the word Peabody. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29 as written.
We have a motion. Might there be a second?
I'll second.
Discussion on the motion, which in effect changes almost nothing.
Just a comment on 21 and 27. I read 21 to be kind of routine maintenance, and it sounds like there's a formula sort of in place to calculate that. 27 does point out above and beyond typical maintenance. If there's some sort of mechanism in 21 to account for that, then I'd agree, yes, they're duplicative and they should be deleted, or that one could be deleted. But that's just for the county commissioners to consider.
Yeah, and as the motion has been presented, 27 stays.
Yep.
And just for information, the cost-sharing agreement, which basically is, if it happens in the previous permit, that cost-sharing agreement does note there have been couplings contributed to the mine, County Road. We had a little bit of subsidence in the cracking. And so we basically agreed to the bill for all the repairs on that. And so that's in that cost-sharing agreement. I don't know whether it should be in addition, but this should probably reference that cost-sharing agreement. If it doesn't, I don't know whether it's in there or not.
It's not.
We know it's there. Any other discussion on the motion? All those in favor of the motion as presented, signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed, say no. Chair votes yes. Motion carries. Alan, you're still going to run that 35-ton and for the benefit of BCC.
Yeah, all of Jerry's comments on the conditions, I will run by planning or public works and
perfect.
Inform the board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda: Lawler Loggins replat, consolidation, zone change, and vacation of easements. Excuse me, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
Before we get started.
Oh. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to disclose and put out on the record that the staff planner on this petition is my wife, but I have no other information than what's presented in the packet, and feel I can make a unbiased and fair decision in regard to this petition.
Hear, hear.
Anybody have an issue with that? Thank you, Troy. I appreciate it. But we're good to go. Now you may proceed, sir.
Now, okay. Well, again, good evening, and thank you for having us here. And my wife Vanessa and I are here to request a replat, consolidation, and a rezone, and a vacation easements of our property that we purchased at 58095 Columbian Place in Clark. And our property, when we purchased it, was 13 separate lots that totaled 8.42 acres. And as you can see on page 17, that our request is to consolidate 8 of the contiguous lots kind of on the southwest portion of the road. That lots 172 through 179, which total 5.01 acres. And that consolidation request will create a lot size that satisfies the 5-acre minimum county requirement for that area. We believe our request for consolidation conforms to all of county requirements. And in the applicable policies and regulations, I think there are 8 or 9 of them that are listed. And just to address a couple of those, number one, the public health, safety, and nuisances. There's a geological survey letter at the very back that they did some recommendations. Definitely a soils test will be done. It's in our best interest as well to make sure that everything is done appropriately there. And also on page, the following page, 18, our proposed building site is, it's actually more in lot 172, kind of that northeast. It's a little more level area of the lot, still falling within the setbacks, but that's kind of what we've identified as a, as our building site. And again, adhering to that geological survey letter. The roads, transportation, and site design. One of the concerns is, as it's snowing outside, we have plenty of space for snow storage there, and so we don't anticipate that being an issue. I've spoken with Giovanni a couple of months ago, and also there is a road and bridge letter at the very back that, again, our intent is to adhere to all the recommendations that the county supplies for road construction there. The number seven, the subdivision improvements, you know, we would also concur with the finding of fact previously reached by the Board of Commissioners as it applies to waiving the $1,400 fee in lieu for lot consolidation. And we, too, would request removal of the $1,400 fee in lieu as consolidation does reduce rather than increase the impact there. And another element of that was regarding the septics and the well. And again, you know, we will be following and adhering to all of the county guidelines as far as permits, et cetera. And again, the road will be built sort of according to county standards. So ultimately, we're requesting the Planning Commission to approve our request and approve our project. You know, our intent is to build a log home there and become full-time residents in Clark and the Steamboat area. And we have an incredible group of local professionals already on our team that are very well respected in their fields. Mr. Ackerman here is our surveyor. Jake Henry is our drafter. Our log home, designed and engineered by Montana Log Homes, and our local builder is Gabe Butler, who has been here for years, and then we're doing our banking with Adam Osbach over at Alpine Bank, so it's all hopefully a local project, and thank you for hearing our petition.
Thank you, sir. Chris.
Hi there. What you're looking at is three different items today: the consolidation of the lots 172 through 179, the rezone from low density residential to medium density residential, and the vacation of the utility easements. So we would need three motions for this application, and there are conditions associated with each one of those items. So when we get to that point, just pointing that out for you. I haven't received any other correspondence with regard to this application. Mr. Lawler mentioned the item for discussion being the fee in lieu. I wasn't at the last meeting where Planning Commission discussed that and the Board of County Commissioners in removing that for the last petition, but Christy was. So if there's some questions on that, I'm sure she can help me out with that one. And that's explained on page 2 under the items of discussion and also on page 9 for the staff comments for the PMU. Mr. Lawler brought up the letter from the Road and Bridge, and I haven't included all of those conditions of approval from the Road and Bridge Department. He also brought up the letter from the geosurvey people and agency, I should say. They had no objection to this being approved, and they did bring up different suggestions for the applicant. And as he said, he is aware of that, and he's going to move forward with appropriate permitting because he wants to make sure he's living in a safe house also. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else.
Christy, for the benefit of the commissioners.
Yes.
You want to recap that fee in lieu thing?
Sure. It was an application for consolidation done in Stagecoach.
And the discussion started here for you all on which was at the request of the applicant to consider a waiver of the fee in lieu, being that they felt road maintenance was being addressed by the applicant, and also that it was 10 lots that feasibly could be built upon, but they were consolidating those 10 lots into two 5-acre parcels. You all made a recommendation to Board of County Commissioners to waive that fee. It was not unanimous, but the recommendation or the findings of fact of why you recommended that was that it was reducing density in the area, and that there was going to be less impact on parks and open space. Parks and schools, that was.
Schools, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the Board of County Commissioners, they went back and forth about it, but ultimately they supported your recommendation.
And so to a limited extent, do we not have the exact same thing here? I mean, in the case of Steamboat Lakes subdivision,
well,
parcels have been set aside for open space, parcels have been set aside for school, the school didn't want it.
I mean, the difference here that I think you can consider is that these lots are not buildable regardless as they are.
Right.
There is no alternative here for a vault or anything to build on these lots without consolidating. In Stagecoach, it was true to an extent that they could have built a single family home on each of those 10 lots. With the vault, of course, they also would have had to upgrade the road, but that was the determination. It is a similar situation, though, for you to consider.
Keep it in mind that Steamboat Lake doesn't allow, we don't allow vaults.
Right.
Only in the Stagecoach area.
Right.
So they're not part of the Willow Creek Water District?
No.
Well, they may be in the water district, but they're not on the sewer.
Yeah.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand clearly in my mind the fact that no vaults can be used here. Is that an argument further to waive fee in lieu? Or again, follow what I'm saying?
Right, where their reduction, because everyone could have built on those lots.
Because of vaults.
They could have had 10 homes on those lots,
right,
where actually they could have none.
Right.
Yeah, there's no option in Steamboat Lake to build on these lots as is without consolidating. So that's the difference.
Yeah, okay. Questions for staff? Troy.
On page 4 of 24, it's under staff comments, and I think the petitioner said this, that the intent is to build on lots 172 and 173, perhaps. And then when I read the staff comments, it sounds like those are the lots that are greater than 30%.
No. If you look at the go back to page 18 of 24, those lots meet the 30% slope or less.
It's the color drawing.
So that's on page 18.
This one.
No, it's the color drawing.
No.
This one.
It's from the geology.
Oh, close, yeah.
Okay. I was reversed.
Oh, you were reversed, okay.
And then, what's staff's opinion about including the five bullets under the Geologic Survey, Colorado Geologic Survey letter as flat notes?
We have included, I think we've placed notice to anybody, for instance, if these lots aren't built upon by the applicant, and for instance, it's sold at a later date, we will be placing a plat note on there, which is on page 12, and I think there's two of them, just a moment. It's F. All lots have been shown to be within mapped areas, potentially unstable slope. That's to make them aware, and it's for future owners, that there are concerns for the land up there. I think it's something we could add. I don't know if it's necessary.
I thought it was standard procedure to keep those on the plats.
Well, that we usually cover it with F, unless there's something very site specific. Like we know that. I mean, I'm not sure you'd want to build your house on an area that you know is definitely sliding down the hill.
Right.
But you know, we try to point that out to people on the plat, that if something were to come up, we're hoping we're notifying you that there is a potential problem here and you should look into it.
F strikes me as being a little bit more boilerplate than the letter. But
I mean, the good news is the letter's in the file, too.
Right, but yeah. I mean, it sounds like they're the builders, too, so they're going to know it.
Right.
It's if they decide not to build. Well, yeah, but there'll only be one house.
Correct.
If you feel that that should be on the plat as a continuation for future owners, we can definitely do that.
I think the reverse is true. I think the suggestion is that it's fine as is. I'm sensing it. And I don't know if this is, well, I guess it's you. I don't. The plats that are in here, they're both existing plats. So you haven't done a new one, but the new one will reflect the change in setbacks.
Yes. If you look at the slope analysis sheet, I put a 50-foot setback as the building on the old pier here. It shows them there. As the zone now is 15 and 10, and there'll be 50. And one,
It's 100 from the center line.
Right. Yeah, it's changed over the years, and I apologize.
It's 100 from the center line.
No, okay.
It's 100 from the center line, and where our potential proposed building site is, we're more than 70.
Oh, yeah. I'm more so on the plat.
Yes.
Yeah. It should be a 70-foot setback, I think, what happens.
70 from 30 and 50, yes.
It's 50 feet from all property lines in the MRE zone district.
But there's an HOA covenant that says differently.
We don't enforce covenants.
But they don't do HOA.
Yeah. We do not enforce covenants. So
but he does.
Restrictive.
But he does.
But that's why I don't deal with setbacks when people ask.
Yeah, okay. We got that nailed down.
It should be noted, though, when this plat is finally done, it will have to show the slopes that are over for the whole lot. That are over 30%, because that's your no-build zone.
Yeah.
So right. That will have to be shown.
Well, and that's consistent with what we've been doing on a going-forward basis. We no longer do
building envelopes.
There you go. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Any other questions for staff, please? Or the petitioner?
I have a question.
There yet.
And Christy, I guess I'm just trying to understand. So there are a number of lots that are not buildable. Is that due to the steep slope
limitation? No, that's due to the fact that they're not hooked up to water and sewer. So those lots were all platted back in the 70s, similar to the Stagecoach situation, and infrastructure was never completely put in place.
Okay.
So without being hooked up to a sewer system, a central sewer system, there's no alternative for sanitary. like there is in Stagecoach. Stagecoach, you can put in a vault system.
Okay, I'm with you.
And that ability is it's not a possibility up in state.
Okay, thank you.
Steamboat Lake.
It could be a possibility if somebody wanted to put the expense of running those lines to a lot. You can build on one lot.
So, I mean, but to clarify, that is true. I mean, if you wanted to do that, how feasible that is,
yeah,
it's probably
would
not
be
likely.
Crazy.
May I add some history?
Sure.
Bear Ackerman, I've worked up on this for almost 35 years. I do have plans and profile of these roads from the development.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it, the road itself would work. There's a lot of cut. I used to own on top of the hill. I owned 13 acres up there, and it was unbelievable, but I had the proof that it would work. The soils are unstable, you're right, and if somebody has the money, they can put the sewer in water. They have the money. That's what
that's a big if.
I was asked 20 years ago, what can we do with all land, right, Steamboat Lake and Stagecoach to consolidate and get rid of this hassle? That's what we got the 5 acres.
That's how the 5 acres came about.
Pardon me. Okay.
And unstable soils at Willow Creek are not anything unknown.
No.
I mean,
no,
they're there.
All of Longfellow slid away. There was
pretty much.
Road up there for a long
it's
time.
Actually still sliding.
Yes.
Any other questions for staff or the petitioner? Comments from the public? Hearing none, we'll close that. Commissioners? What's your pleasure?
Inclined to support.
Everybody nodding their heads pretty much.
Where do we deal with the fee in lieu piece?
That's going to come up.
Because it's not under any of the specific.
There are no conditions with regard to the fee in lieu. I removed that condition. So if you were to accept the conditions as they state are stated, it's not in there. It's just for discussion. I do have, I thought I had the old condition.
What'd you say?
Yes, I did. If you wanted to place that back in there.
So to answer your question, that can be either part of any of the motions or a separate recommendation.
Wouldn't it be part of the consolidation? Or
that's why I said it could be any of them. Because there's going to be three. We need three motions.
But we need to put something in there about whether we're waiving it or not.
Yes.
We do?
We recommend
it. It's not listed as a condition right now. So
it's not listed as a condition.
It was purely a discussion item. And so right now, as it stands, it's not included, and I'd be inclined to support that based on the finding of fact that these remaining lots are indeed buildable. Now, the cost may be prohibitive, but those four additional lots that they're not planning to build on are buildable. This reduces the impact, as we discussed, similar to Stagecoach. And that's why I would support leaving that condition out.
I'd agree with that. I don't see that this is that different from what we did with the Stagecoach.
I think this is the condition right
here. Except that in Stagecoach, you could put a vault in.
You could put sewer in. It's cost prohibitive, but if your dream is to have that lot, you won the $90 million lotto.
I get that part, except that I'm trying to understand the change. Because last time we recommended waiving it.
Well, based on the inclinations of our overlords.
Hello?
Well, they waived it on Stagecoach.
And they followed our recommendation.
Yeah. And so staff taking that cue has left that out.
No, they didn't leave
it out. It's not mentioned.
No, it's not mentioned.
It's not the way the Stagecoach went away.
This is setting new precedent almost. Where yeah.
Help me with my history. Did we not recommend to BCC that it be waived?
Planning Commission did. Andy was the only one that did not support it.
So he's consistent.
Yeah.
I'm always consistent because if it's in there and it's been collected every single time, then yeah, I'm going to say let's do it. Now, the Board of County Commissioners has taken a different tack on this, and they're saying that And you all made that argument, and I can buy that argument, and I will support that from now on.
Yeah.
But you know me.
I'm getting that again.
I always...
And the county commissioners, I mean, it wasn't something that they were all in agreement with. In the end, they all did agree, but it wasn't going in that direction initially.
At the end of the day, the county is going to receive a whole lot more tax revenue from a single-family dwelling on this than they would if it remained vacant.
And as similar to last time, Willow Creek donated 20-some-odd acres for school, donated or conveyed all kinds of acres for open space. So, I mean, in my head, the consistencies between here and Steamboat Stagecoach are pretty much close. Other than, I think it's worse here. There's no vaults.
I mean, that was the argument that staff was saying, that we could consider that, since there is no option, that you could bring the fee back in. But I'm not inclined to do that.
Well,
yeah. I think if part of it is promoting consolidations, then I'm part of it.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that was part of the argument, is that we are encouraging consolidations. But it was noted also that back in 2007, a policy was implemented by the Board of County Commissioners to help support consolidations by reducing that fee in lieu to the $1,400. That's far less from what the regulations actually require, which is 5% of the overall value of the land in the subdivision, the appraised value.
Right.
So there already is a reduced fee that has been consistently implemented up until
2017.
Correct.
Which I would infer the intent of that was when you're doing large subdivisions versus small consolidations.
All right. And going in that theme, I'll make a motion to approve activity BL18-183 on the consolidation with findings of fact 1 as written, conditions 1 through, and then I guess specific conditions or just conditions 1 through 14 as written.
Second.
Any is, sorry?
Okay.
Oh, Andy.
Okay.
Any motion on the, any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as presented signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. Chair votes yes.
If you'd like, I'll continue and make another.
You're on it.
Another motion to approve activity BL18-183, the zone change, findings of fact number 1, and conditions 1 through 3 as written.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Is this where?
Where are you going to put the fee in
lieu? Yeah, is this where you want to add the fee in lieu?
Well, I wasn't going to add the fee in lieu.
At all.
But if you
so you're going to be silent on it and not give a recommendation?
Be silent.
It's included as a condition.
It's not included as a condition.
No, it's not included as a condition.
But you could
so?
Add.
So?
So? I mean, well, you can either be silent or you can take a yay or a nay.
Okay, so we have a motion and it's been seconded. And so, Troy, are you making a friendly a recommendation for a friendly amendment? That would include a recommendation to
waive the fee in lieu.
I would make a friendly amendment to add
to which
the well,
second
no,
one
the zone change.
Yes.
It should, I don't think it makes a difference where it shows up. I don't think so.
Okay.
Staff?
Does it make a difference?
It should have been with
on the
conditions for the consolidation,
right.
But we'll go with it here.
That the board eliminate the fee in lieu on this application.
I'll agree to that.
Okay, everybody, in, so we now we have, well, I'm going to get there. Are you seconding that?
It's a friendly amendment. It doesn't
have to be really.
It doesn't have to be seconded. We all just have to be in agreement.
Exactly. So,
We have a motion and a friendly amendment. All those in favor of the motion with the amendment, as stated, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Opposed, say no. Chair votes yes.
Then we'll continue on with activity PL 18-183.
Yep.
Recommend approval of the utility easement vacation with findings of fact 1 and conditions number 1, as written.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Opposed, say no. Chair votes yes. Motion carried.
Good luck.
Thank you.
You're done.
Thank you.
We'll clean that up next time.
Yes.
How's it going?
Good. I need...
Yep. I can hook you
up. Hook me up.
Yep.
Yeah, I really should. I thought it was something separate.
Well, I thought because it wasn't in there that we just have to be out. But I should just staying out.
To reinforce the opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that.
Well, let me hook you up first.
Let him know.
Yeah,
we'll
be,
put it on.
I mean, but we made a recommendation.
They'll be like, you were sloppy.
Original.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll take the CDOT.
Yeah.
They didn't make it.
Yeah.
No, it's
sir, just him. Yeah. CDOT.
Checking.
They were wondering at first, but.
We didn't start this. That's what I thought. They had everybody in the house.
Bye.
Good night. Good luck.
Good night. Thanks.
Well, whatever.
Make sure we get it in there.
Thanks.
That could be why. There might be another one that, on the other side.
It's funny that I'm like the...
No, I expect nothing less.
Thanks. Good. I'm glad to be consistent.
Yes, you are consistent. Well, you weren't a bad deal, though. Oh, yeah, you were. No, you weren't.
No,
you
were.
No, you're really inconsistent.
That was really
consistent. Yeah,
I'm totally consistent.
Oh, my God.
Because it wasn't in.
Perfect.
That's
but it was got added, and you still voted for it.
Yeah.
It didn't get added.
Yeah, it did.
What got
that
added?
Was my amendment.
The lieu. In lieu of.
That friendly amendment. Yeah. I'm all good with that. It was not in that application to begin with, so. And you guys convinced me.
Yeah, how about this?
I thought the last discussion was good, and I'm.
It's coming back to you.
I will change my mind. I'm not unbreakable. See what you've been missing since
there.
I've been
there.
All right.
I've only missed like 2 meetings.
I
just
met.
Just for DMV setup. That's one.
Chris.
What are you doing? Well, wow. Okay. I looked at it online.
I do too.
Can I put that on my wall?
I know, like, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Hmm?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
When they prove you again, anyway. So, are you Mr. I'm going to butcher this.
That's okay.
Listen?
Oh. You didn't butcher it.
Really? I'm impressed. It's just a comment. I recognize that, and it's obvious to me that a considerable amount of effort and work has gone into putting this study together and its recommendations. And frankly, I kind of read through it, sort of.
Okay.
But it got pretty heavy. So I guess what I was thinking about is perhaps you can give us the quick down and dirty.
I'm going to give you the condensed version for
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Because I don't
We could spend many hours on this if we
no,
like.
No, we can't. You obviously already have.
And what is it we're being asked to do?
I think it's just information.
Yeah. This, let me introduce myself so you can understand who I am and what I do, and we'll go from there. My name is Dan Rusin. I'm the Region 3 Access Manager for Colorado Department of Transportation. And what I'm responsible for is all access onto the state highway system for every single highway in my region. So I have about 2,500 miles of roadway that I'm responsible for. I have 16 counties and 60-plus municipalities in my region. So the good news is this is not my first rodeo. I've done this for a while. I've done this for about 18 years. And I'm actually very familiar with Rock County. So family grew up here a little bit, so pretty familiar with Rock County. 20 Mile, my dad went to work at 20 Mile, so actually we own property on the other side of 20 Mile. So
it's got coal in it? Never mind.
We no longer own it, so. But one thing I do want to tell you is I'm not going to talk about speed, but I brought you a speed brochure. This will help you understand the concept of speed because of other discussions that you guys had. And let me tell you, speed, just real quick, speed is probably one of the most technical things that CDOT does. And the reason why is because of it's all based on design. Everything that we design is based on speed. Why it's so technical is because of design, but also law enforcement. There's certain processes for speed. So I know you guys talked about the speed limits on County Road 27, but I want you to be aware there are rules, regulation. This is a great pamphlet for you to understand. Also, in regards to speeds for vehicles, every CDOT vehicle has a speed monitoring system on it, and we get emails if we go over the speed limit. So I suspect they can do the same as well. Just FYI. All right, well, let's get started. If you can, I'm going to I got a pretty strong voice, so if you can't hear me, let me know and I'll get back to the microphone.
It'll pick up. It's fine.
When I say I'm in charge of all the accesses, what I do is the state of Colorado has given me the responsibility of being responsible, not just in a nice way, but actually police powers for access onto the state highway system. So we actually have an access code. It's not a rules and regulation. It's not a guidelines or anything like that. It's actually state law. We also have something in our access control plans, our access code, that is also what we call an access control plan. What we're going to talk about is the East Steamboat US 40 Access Control Plan that we did in 2016. Basically, it's a planning document. A lot of times, CDOT we only get to look at traffic and the impacts of traffic. We never look into the impacts of land use. That's your guys' responsibility. It's not mine. So we just look at the transportation of those impacts. The problem is, what you guys approve and what we can allow sometimes don't mesh. So the lawmakers decided, well, do something called an access control plan. And what that is we get with local governments, we get to look at their planning, and we start planning all the accesses along the corridor. In this case, we started at the post office, which is 3rd Street.
Yep.
And we went all the way to the county line, all the way even through the Forest Service. So what we did was we did an IGA, an intergovernment agreement,
with CDOT, Grout County, and the city of Steamboat. We all agreed what the access going to be on that corridor. Now, on an access control plan, we don't have any funding in terms of, we aren't going to implement the access control plan, the whole corridor, because that's not really how it is. It's just a vision for that corridor in terms of access. We kind of identify where the location of the accesses are going to be, what kind of access they're going to be, are they going to be restricted, stuff like that. We also take into consideration land use. That's why we get with Rock County and the city of Steamboat planning to understand their zoning so we can ensure that the infrastructures, the ability to get access to all the landowners to have access to the highway, get them good access, get them reasonable access. What's really cool about an access control plan is it can be amended. It's not a static document. So what that means is if we get Disneyland that decides to develop east of Steamboat, that's going to change the access. So we have a process in place that you can change the access. What I gave you guys is a copy of the intergovernment agreement. It showed all the access points. And I wanted to kind of show you the document. It was 39 pages. Looked like this.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty easy document.
Yeah.
Go ahead and go to the next one. Here's something I want you guys to be aware of. If nothing changes, nothing changes. We're not going to change anything unless there's redevelopment, unless we have a publicly funded project, CDOT project, or a county project, or a city project. That's when stuff happens. Or if there's safety and operational issues, then we'll change something. Like I said, it's a living document. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So with the plan, and I've kind of given a few of the benefits, because a lot of times when I evaluate a site, I only look at it at that one access point, and that's all I look at. But in reality, I need to look at the entire corridor. How does that affect the entire corridor in terms of transportation? It really has a big impact. For example, and I'm just going to, in general terms, you can have a situation where the land use dictates that there needs to be a signal at that location. The access code says you can't have a signal there. So we're in conflict. How do we handle that? With this plan, we can handle it. So it gives us the vision for planning in the future. It doesn't handcuff us that if something changes and we all agree that it needs to change a little bit, we can change it. So it's very amendable. What's really good about doing an access control plan, it really provides flexibility. It gives us other things to look at besides just that one access. So that's why we do access control plans. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So a plan was adopted. It was adopted August 25th, 2016, and we signed the intergovernment agreement. Go ahead and get that. So we did public involvement. This is a criteria for us. We have to notify every single landowner that's adjacent to the access control plan area. We had two open houses, and we had one-on-one meetings with individual landowners. We had 25 meetings. We provided formal comments to six people. And then we had 25 people attend the first one, and then we only had nine the second one. When that happens, usually that's pretty good because It's not very controversial. If it was controversial, it would be opposite. Only 9 showed up the first time and 25 the second time. Because people get excited about land use and access to their property. Go ahead. So our public, we had questions about implementation. Like I said, the only time we implement it is if there's a change in use at the property, or if there's a public project, or is there safety or operational issues. That's when we will implement the plan. We talked about alternative routes. We had questions about shared access. And we actually had support for planning for the future, because a lot of times we're reactive. We really need to be proactive. And this is one of those chances that we can be that. Go ahead. So this is there's actually a document. I didn't want to bore you with the 250 pages of that document.
Good idea.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But we really did spend time, and what we did is not only did we have planning staff and CDOT and the city, we also had a consultant to help us. They're kind of the third party, making sure we're not missing anything, making sure that I'm not twisting arms to get stuff done. It really works well. I feel like it's a very collaborative effort, and communities really like it, or at least that's the feedback I've gotten. Go ahead. So this plan, like I said, it started at 3rd Street, and it went all the way to the county line. So we did an IGA with the city and the county all the way up to this point. So all this is under an IGA. We have different highway classifications. That's what the NRB, NRA is, and NRA to RA. So it's just different types of classifications going from a more urban area to a more rural area. Go ahead. So this is the area that we were talking about. So I just kind of wanted to show you what we really talked about with Rock County is this point to this point. Actually, this point, because this is the city limits. Go ahead. So what's really cool about it is the access code is very rigid. This document, if it makes sense to have a little bit more access or a little less access, we can do that. So the access control plan actually supersedes the access code. So it's really a pretty good document. There's absolutely no financial obligations for any agency. It's just a planning document. Exhibit A, it defines the limits. It also provides a table. And the table tells you what kind of access it is, where it's at, and what we're going to propose in the future. So we also did exhibits, which is, I'm not going to show you too much, but basically the exhibit is this entire thing in document format. Go ahead, next. We also have an amendment process. We talk about what the amendment process is. It really works pretty good. I've amended access plans. I've done about 5 of them so far in my career, so it can be done. And if it's reasonable stuff, I think we will consider reasonable stuff. And we've been working well with Rock County for many years, or at least I feel we have. I was trying to get the pat on the back.
Good luck with that.
Just kidding, Dan.
Go ahead to the next slide. Why do we do it? And this is really, it's why do we mess with access. It's a safety. It's really, if we can improve access management of the corridor, we can improve the safety of the corridor. This slide right here, this is a very interesting slide. 47% of all intersection accidents are because the left turn is going into the side. 27% are for the left turns out. And then the right turns coming in is 16%, and 10% right outs. So that kind of gives you an idea what it is. And that's why we kind of like to restrict access. I mean, we want to provide landowners with reasonable access, but we don't want to see 20 different access points for one piece of property. So, because every access point we put on there is a conflict point on the state highway system. Another one, it preserves the traffic flow. And what I mean by that is, if we can get more cars on the roadway, basically, if we have good access management. That, I mean, it's not the super pill. It basically improves it by about 10-15% by doing good access management. But 10-15%, you know, that's good. If we do, obviously, less delay, air quality, it's good for business. If you have good access to your business, people will want to go to them. And I bet you every single one of you can think of a business that has terrible access. And you really don't want to go there. You might have to be forced to, but if it's not good, you usually won't go. Or you're very, very careful making those turns in and outs. Go ahead. So this is redevelopment. This is a big one. When do we need to do an access permit? And this is something what you guys need to understand. Anytime there's a change in use on the state highway system by 20%, and what I'm talking about is not, it doesn't have to be a direct access. It could be indirect access. For example, we have the mining company. If they came to us, and I realize they're reapplying for their special use permit. If they came to us today and asked for additional hauling, the county would be required to get a new access permit for County Road 27 because the development changed it by 20%. So that's a big one. And the reason why we do that, it's not to slap the hand of the county. What we're looking at is making sure the infrastructure is in place for that county road based on the use. And what I mean by that is there enough site distance at that location? Are the radiuses good? Is the access width good enough? Does there need to be turn lanes there? Does it need to have acceleration lanes? Those are the things we consider in an access permit. So there's a lot of stuff that we consider. For example, we did the gravel pit by Hayden,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
which was also the gravel pit for Rowell County.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shared driveway between, I forget the guy's name.
The Funk pit and Connell.
Yes.
Which is now United.
Correct. They had to put a lot of infrastructure in to get that access. Well, for a gravel pit, it's pretty dang important. Your question on sites, 45 miles an hour for site or stopping distance is about 600 feet for an average car. It's a little bit more for a truck because trucks take a little longer to slow down. Just that way. I was going to stand
Thank
up
you.
And say that, but none of my business. Publicly funded projects, obviously, when CDOT does projects, if, for example, we did Elk River Road. Oh my gosh, we had to We had to close the driveway. That was probably the most... I spent a lot of time on closing that driveway because there was easements in place. There were people that were four plots down that had an easement that we had no idea they had easements. So it can be complicated, but moving that driveway, and and I think that's the Moe's driveway, and we moved it farther to the, I'm going to say north, on Elk River Road. Just so you know, our right-of-way goes all the way to the city's...
The reserves?
Reserves. So, of course, it was in my right-of-way. I got very lucky. Not really, but had to deal with it. So, you know, also we do safety and operational issues. If there's something that we need to deal with, we will deal with it. Harder to prove on safety and operations because there needs to be a pattern. So that's always a challenge, and it's always a sensitive thing. But we will look at stuff like that. Go ahead, next. So here's our role. CDOT's role, we issue access permits. We identify access modifications or recommendations what need to happen. We enforce the terms and conditions of the permit, and we monitor the safety and operational issues along the corridor. County's role. It's to, you know, relevant land use needs to be referred to CDOT so we can provide you guys comments. Enforce county codes. Require dedication of cross-access easements as part of development or redevelopment. So a lot of times we ask for shared driveways. How do you share a driveway? I'm going to show you how we share a driveway legally. It's a lot harder than you think it is. I suspect you already knew that. Plan for and develop alternative local routes. That's a big one for us. Because what we, when I talk to smaller communities, that their only plan is the highway. And that's not good planning. Because you're putting all your eggs in one basket. So if we can provide alternative access, it doesn't need to be built right away, but have the vision for it. And that's what you guys are doing, is looking at the vision, the land use, getting that vision in place, so in the future, we can get those networks in there. So it's really important. Go ahead. Local circulation plus access plan improves safety and operations. Of course it does. So we asked the county to do a resolution on this access control plan, which they did. Go ahead. Here's part of the plan. And I wanted to, why I brought this up, it's very interesting, and I wanted to show you what we're saying. What we're saying is, this is the shared access. We're gonna ask to close this one and this one to those two properties and have a shared driveway right there. Sounds real easy, but the problem is nobody wants to participate with us unless they have to. So if this property redevelops, what we ask this landowner to do is provide an easement, 50 by 50 easement. I allow the county to make that determination, to provide an easement to this landowner. And we'll put the access there with the understanding when this landowner redevelops, we're going to close that access and bring and have his access right there, and he will have to provide a 50-foot easement for his neighbor, and that's how we share it. That's a long process. That could be decades before that happens, but at least we're starting to try. At least we are moving forward and trying to get something. Because this is Highway 40. This is Hilltop. There's a lot of stuff here. A lot of traffic. Especially in this area. So that's how we do shared driveways. Go ahead. Local road alternatives. If you ever want to get in a strong discussion with landowners, talk about local road alternatives with them. In their mind, that's not great business for them because it takes property from them. In our mind, as working for the public, we need to provide alternative access. We know there's access challenges in this area. This is Weiss Drive. This is, I think this is the Holiday Inn. By the way, that's where I'm staying tonight. So we actually did, you can actually see two accesses. When they redeveloped, we closed one of their accesses. The Holiday Inn actually has Angles Lane. And what we're suggesting to the city is to provide a roadway connection on the back end that provides other means of access. Because we need to get these people to other means. Because long term, this access is going to be a right-in, right-out access. What I mean by right-in, right-out access is we're going to restrict the left turns. No left turns out, no left turns in. So how do we provide access to these folks that need to make left turns? We need to get them to local roads. We need to get them to street systems in place. This long term is going to be a signal. So we need to provide access. That's why we're asking for the local roads street system to provide access here. And that will be a signal in the future.
Dan, what do you mean by long? What is long term?
Oh, great. Great question.
What's the trigger? Because they're currently developing that property.
They are. Yeah. We've actually got an access permit for it. Because they did the hotel.
Right. And then across the street is the church.
Which we got an access permit for that as well.
Right. So.
So when does it trigger a signal? Great question. Signals are triggered by traffic volume. Basically, how much throughput there is on the highway, how many people are making the left turns out, what's the delay? And there's engineering standards. There's approximately 9 standards that warrants a signal. So what we have done with this access control plan, we have agreed that a signal, when it's warranted, would be right there. What's really advantageous for you guys is knowing that, understanding that. So getting those local road connections in there. That's the important thing. Now, I understand this is in the city, but, you know, city really has to spend some time on that and making sure that the local road connections are in there. So do we have a time frame for that? It's really when the need arises. So what I mean by that is, when the traffic volume warrants the need for a signal, when it can be justified, there will allow a signal there. It could be a CDOT project that builds it, could be private development, could be the city of Steamboat putting it in, heck, it could even be Rock County. I'll give you an example. Go ahead.
Oh. But so when the hotel went in, nothing really changed, right?
They actually had to put a right turn decel lane in, and I think they had to do some striping. For the church on the other side, and they also had to change the alignment. They had to bring the road straight across from here. The church also had to put a right turn decel lane in here. A lot more challenging than you think because there's some grade issues and there's wetlands. There's actually a small little wall right here. That's a little too much more information than you guys need, but we did take a look at it. We have traffic studies that they provided us, and a traffic study for us is an engineer, third-party engineer, that shows the impacts of their development and make recommendations. And they'll have to sign and seal that report. So they put their license on the line every time they do a traffic study.
So what weight does the control plan have on a change of use above 20%
for Ralph County. Is it an application comes in, we refer to you?
Right.
You make your recommendation, or is it a requirement from you? Or is it up to these guys to uphold it?
The county has agreed where the accesses are going to be long term.
Right.
So our expectation is you guys know that, and you will direct them there. In terms of the traffic, please, we can handle it. I have engineers on my staff that will review the traffic studies and look at the technical side. And through the permit process, will require whatever is needed for that. And basically, whatever the traffic study says is what we're going to put in there, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we make sure that they do the traffic study correctly, and we agree with their assumptions. And also, we make sure that the local government agrees with their assumptions. Go ahead.
So further down on this plan, that we had a process not long ago with the Stars property. You guys were calling for a right-in, right-out, but nothing changed, right?
Long-term.
So that's just part of the plan. So that's why it didn't have to, because I was like, I know nothing happened there.
No. But right. We wanted, as good stewards of the highway, we need to let landowners understand long-term there's going to be, their access is going to be a right-in, right-out access. So we need to let them know and let them start planning for that. Now, is it going to happen in my career? Probably not. Because traffic volumes, I mean, if you...
However...
What?
If Stars was shown to demonstrate a 20% increase in traffic, then you would kick in.
Well, it still might not be enough to kick it in, is what I'm saying. Even 20% added might not be enough.
They did have to, just so you know, they did have to apply for an access permit, and we issued them an access permit. We did not require them to make it a right-in, right-out access today, because there's no need. The traffic volumes are not crazy enough.
But my question is, had there been a 20% increase in traffic,
would you have kicked that in?
It was, and we offered them a permit.
It was.
Oh.
The traffic was more than 20% of what it was. There was an old
farmhouse. I mean, there was a house there now.
Yeah.
No, but it would be the increase on 20% on US 40, right?
No. At the driveway.
At the driveway.
Good question.
Boo.
But similarly, if you take a field access, which is referred to in here, I think, and then you stick a single-family home on a 35-acre parcel, that increases it by 20%.
We would require a new access permit.
So it's a permit, but physically, a single-family home isn't going to...
We would actually probably widen the driveway, because usually a field approach is 12 to 14 feet. We probably widened it to 16 to 18 feet. We would put good radiuses in. We'd make sure the culvert is there. Up in this neck of the woods, you need to have a good culvert. We have a lot of water up here. And we also asked them to pave the driveway for 4 feet. And what we call it is a paved apron. And that just saves the highway long term.
Do you care if it's concrete or asphalt?
I don't.
Does the state?
I am the state.
Yes.
Well, but I'm thinking one is construction, one is planning kind of thing. But okay.
He said,
the answer is no.
He
you don't care.
I don't care.
Okay.
As long as the concrete is a quarter of an inch below the asphalt, the highway.
That's
so we don't have snowplows being wrecked because of the driveway. So these are all our symbols for the plan. I'm not going to go over the plan specifically because I could spend hours. But I'm more than happy any specific area. I'm very familiar with STARS program.
131 and 40.
What? Great. Let's talk about that one.
Being a South Route advocate.
Let's talk about that one. I love that. Andy, I like. So I'm going to bring this up a little bit. And I haven't even really looked at this very closely.
It's not on there. Right there. Keep on going. Right by the 40 symbols.
Oh.
Yep.
There it is. So I've been here 18 years. So I was around when this developed, and I don't remember what the name is.
Priest Creek.
Alpine Mountain.
So one of the things that we required is long-term, we required that this at County Road 24 be relocated to State Highway 131. And we actually got the county agreed. They actually got the HOA that wasn't part of the development to provide the easement or provide the right-of-way. It wasn't an easement. I believe it was right-of-way. Mm-hmm. To connect it over here and bring back it to County Road or 24 alignment. So we showed that as being a full movement intersection with potential for signal. And I don't want to say this too loud. Possibility of roundabout. Don't want to say, I'm not saying we're going to have a roundabout. But if the engineers think that there's a need for a roundabout or the community wants a roundabout, that's another way of doing it.
What's their criteria?
We like roundabouts.
I don't hate them. I'm smart enough
only
to navigate
line.
Them.
Just
so.
The double.
So.
Depends on whether they're too small.
What? Great question on what's the criteria for a roundabout. There really isn't any engineering criteria for a roundabout, but there, when you look at a roundabout, the engineers have to look at it and see how much traffic's going in each direction. Because that limits the roundabout. In some cases, you might want to have a two lane in one direction and then a single lane for another leg of the roundabout. That needs to be figured out. Here's what's tough on roundabouts. Weather, a little snow, got to maintain those roundabouts. Second thing is roundabouts cost more, probably about three times more than a signal. But for us, we like them because it has a lot more, less maintenance for them. A lot less maintenance. And the safety benefit is really, really good because the severity of the accident at a roundabout is far less than a signal. So, did I answer your question?
Roundabout 131 coming in 5 years. Gotcha.
Now!
I heard it.
There's
not enough traffic.
Where's the newspaper person?
They're really listening through the microphones. They don't come anymore.
Really get them excited. Now, but it has the potential for that if you want to. But realistically, the intersection works pretty well. There's an acceleration lane.
I've seen a bad T-bone there one time, car in front of me, semi. It was a bummer, but the guy was stupid and pulled out. So, but you know that comment about most accidents occurring on the left turn makes a lot of sense because the support bar of the window is right there and really limits your field of vision.
Well, and you're crossing one level of traffic, and the opposing speed is whatever the speed limit is. So you got to make judgment calls. Some people blow those judgment calls.
Yeah.
So do you have a similar plan for West Route?
Fine, howdy, I do.
Already, I mean,
it's already implemented.
Oh, okay.
Not implemented, though. It's already signed, sealed, and delivered.
Okay.
We actually did West Steamboat approximately 2008-2009. Now, so we have a pretty good plan, and I believe it goes past Evo 2, a little bit farther that way. So I do have a plan. So when the high school ever decides to move to County Road 42, I'm there. I got it. I'm joking.
So Dan, what happened at Elk River Road? Because it's a nightmare.
Even now?
Yeah.
No, I think it's function. Because I use that area a lot. I heard it was going to be a roundabout originally, and then, I mean, the traffic coming down 129, I think it's absorbing it quite nicely. I like double turn.
But it's terrible because following what you're saying, you got a double turn onto 40, and then at 100 yards, it all merges over into one.
Well, that's the problem.
That's a problem.
Right, right. And the pitch at the end of the intersection.
And then when you're trying to turn off of 40 onto Elk River Road,
right,
you can't see the...
straight in people, yeah. The north
ones that are north bounders,
yeah,
crossing 40, because that turn absolutely does not line up with your rear view mirror. So you're merging at 40 miles an hour, and you need to stop, but then there's nobody coming. I mean, then I come out of Ace Hardware trying to come into town. That violates every... safe driving class I ever took about crossing lanes. So tell me what happened.
Well, first thing, let's first talk about Elk River Road is probably your busiest intersection in Rock County by far. I don't think there's any other intersection
really
in Rock County that's busier than that. Maybe 3rd Street, but for maybe 3rd Street, I say maybe, and that's, I think Elk River is actually busier.
We got a lot of trucks.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Elk River's been every day. I take it every day.
I'd agree.
So you're absolutely right. And here's, and I don't want to, we're only responsible for the highway, but there has to be some working together between the locals and us. So
it's the city's
fault. Needs to be longer lane on Elk River Road. We can't go any farther than our right of way. We really can't. So local government has to help us on that.
I think he's blaming the counties, dude.
That's the city.
That's the blame.
No, no,
that
would be in the city limits.
That's
the
city.
But
it is
it 129?
Well, I have to get to the airport.
Yeah, once you get out there.
Once you get out there.
Yeah.
But it's a... We have to work together to get more right of way at Elk River Road so you can have the double S, so you have more time to merge into Elk River Road.
Well,
really do. I don't
eventually argue. It connects all the way to the library. But there's two lanes at the library, it disappears, and then there's two lanes. We'll eventually have the connection. I have faith.
Yeah.
They will meet.
I have faith too. And we got close.
You may not live that long.
Well, I might. I mean, I'm relatively young still.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
You know, and realistically, we as a community and we as a state have to take responsibility for our transportation. And we decide not to fund transportation, which it is what it is. But that was actually a pretty good idea because 15% of that would go to the county. To the county is the state of Colorado. So it's because we recognize we can't just do our highways and forget about the local roads. We got to get both because they got to work together. They really do.
So where's the Lincoln Bypass going to go?
Lincoln Bypass. I haven't heard that in a long time.
I thought it was a Big Dig type project under steamboat. That's what I thought.
Wow. I was
in Boston for 3 years, you know. The Big Dig was quite the project.
Just so you know, our executive director came from the Big Dig. He was in charge of the Big Dig.
Quite the project, man.
So I got a question. You talk in here a bunch about if there's redevelopment, increase
right.
in traffic, or safety or operational issues.
Right.
What the heck's going on with Old Town Hot Springs? That is like one of the worst
nightmares
because it's right now it's full in, full out from any direction. But it's all of what? Maybe 50 yards from a stoplight. So people are trying to get
out. 3rd Street, by the way, which is probably the second busiest intersection in the town, or in Rock County. And you got the post office, which is another mess, which the post office is thinking about moving, but they haven't yet. We don't know what the post office
is. So, I mean, Hot Springs is obviously
much
bigger. Yes. So what's happening with that? Are we just going to have to put up with that mess?
But is an addition considered redeveloping?
Yes. If they change the traffic by 20%, they have to get a new access permit.
right in, right out.
But do you think they changed
the traffic? That's what I was thinking. That would be a good case for a right in.
Right? Just so you guys also know, we're working with the city on getting technology on our signals. That's probably the best way for me to say it. We're looking to get better timing on our signals. And what I mean by better timing is where signals can actually learn what the traffic patterns are and provide, if the side of the street needs more green time, it could provide that green time.
In real time changes?
So there's intelligence built into the traffic signal.
Yes, kind of scary.
Cool.
Because right now, isn't the within city limits, isn't it the city engineer?
No.
No,
we're responsible for
so
all
you're,
the
yeah,
okay,
really.
But back to my question, which you haven't answered.
I'm sorry.
It seems to me that with everything that's going on with the Old Town, first of all, it was a mess before they started redeveloping it. Now it's going to be an even bigger mess. Did this trigger anything for you or the city? Or
I don't think I've seen the application. I've seen discussions about it, but I don't think I've seen any... I don't think I've seen any development from the city referring it to me regarding that.
So if the city doesn't contact you, it just stays a mess.
Well, if the city, there's only about four of us in my office that does.
No, but you talked about how you have this kind of policing function.
We
so
do.
If the city basically says, let's ignore Hot Springs because
it's a great economic developer.
Yeah.
I get it and I see it.
Powerful people.
But They're pretty good, actually. I believe the city is they communicated with me pretty well. Matter of fact, that would
get back to us on the Hot Springs situation.
Well, so
I don't have any answer for you because I haven't seen the development.
But I mean, the reason I'm pushing it is I think it's a prime example
of
where you got somebody that's developing. It was a mess for traffic before. It's a mess for traffic now, and it's going to be a bigger mess.
So all we can do is limit the access to them, where we restrict it to right in, right out access, or maybe a three-quarter movement access. Probably only right in, right out, because the three-quarter, we don't have enough room to give them a turn lane because Third Street needs a turn lane, needs the room for the turn lane.
But you don't have any recourse once it's done. I mean, hypothetically...
We do.
The steamboat said, look, they're redeveloping, but they're not adding a lot of traffic, so we don't want...
We do, and that's the scary thing. We actually do have recourse.
What triggered that?
If there's a 20% change, state law says they're required to get an access permit. Doesn't matter what their land use approvals are, that's a state highway access code, and it's a police power. How often do we do that? We try to work with the local governments, because that's...
Probably not a popular move.
What's the unit of measure? Is that vehicles per day? Or?
We usually do it by, great question. It's design hourly volume we use.
Design hourly volume.
And, DHB. Or peak hour. DHB or peak hour. Peak hour is what we look at.
PH. I got it. I got the glossary of terms.
Traffic engineer right there. But that's how we look at it because peak hour, that's pretty good. Good determinant for us.
So would it be a 20% increase from the last time that was measured?
Yes, but let me explain something. It's either the last time the permit, if they got a permit issued to them, then what the permit says. But the state highway access code, the state highway access code has been around since 1982. Driveways have been around since the 1900s,
yeah,
or 1800s, around here, 1880, roughly. So, in that case, if we don't have an access permit, then we count the existing traffic, and then we go base that off of 20%.
So, I don't understand how a right in, right out works using the Old Town Hot Springs as an example.
So,
you have a lot of users headed east on 40. That typically will turn left into. So if that's a right in, right out, how in the world do I then travel east to come back?
Next intersection.
Do you go to the next intersection? Is that?
You can do U-turns if they're allowed. If there's no U-turn signs, you can do that at signals.
So you have
alternative routes. That's why it's so important to have those alternative routes. So that's important. How we do right-in, right-outs, we put medians out there in the center of the roadway. We'll put what we call a port chop that directs a car to make a right turn only or a right turn out. And they could possibly go around that. I don't like port chops myself because it just makes people want to go ahead and just go around it. Ignore it.
Cool.
Questions? This is great, great discussion. I do talk to these guys on a regular basis.
He also comes and visits quite often.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
He really likes Rock County.
So the question is, do you see, are there any major changes that you see in the near future? Happening, like the Stone Lane connector or the Doherty Road or anything like that?
Probably not east of town. Probably west of town is where I see the changes. You know, we got the school district parcel. That's going to be very interesting. We do have a parcel east of town that's the school district, which is in Rock County. That's going to be very interesting. But I see the housing. Matter of fact, I see like two or three. You guys see it a lot more than I do because I don't live up here. But the housing. Here's another thing. I think once we get funding, I think the local lawmakers, decision makers, they're looking for us to four-lane, 40, some more. Get that vision. Get that.
Right over by the bus depot and
right.
The, you know, that area, that
so the,
mile is.
So the bus depot, we're actually looking to relocate that signal to, is it Indian?
Yeah.
Indian Trails.
Because.
Right.
I thought that was happening when Sunlight Neighborhood went in. I thought that was mandatory that was going to move, but.
No. Sunlight is on top of the hill. They come down, but it's not at that location. They're a little bit farther to the
That's
east.
Their secondary access?
I think so.
Well, now they added that one.
So, but we're looking to... The city got some funding from us. So, to do sidewalks in that area. But we're talking about $1 million to change, to move that signal just 700 feet or 800 feet away.
Up on...
The reason why... Signals are no longer up to standards.
Are you doing the LEDs then?
Yeah.
So still. So they do people recognize that the LEDs don't generate enough heat to get the snow off of them?
Good question. I'm not the signal guy, but
they don't.
Yes, and I think there is some sort of heating mechanism in the. In the lens to help with the melting of snow.
Just to make sure the energy consumption gets backed up to what they were.
Or just put the old bulbs in. It really was an issue.
I think it's a lot more environmentally friendly. I really do. I'm just not the expert at it. I'm more of an access guy.
Gotcha. So still within the county, but in the national forest, has access work already started on... Harrison Creek, Smoky Bear, is that what started last year with...
2 years ago, where they moved... What we're trying to do with the Forest Service is try to move their... And I'm going to say their little parking areas off the highway and get it into the forest. Because that's not a good recipe. Because, you know, people are trying to recreate and take snowmobiles off or whatever... It's just not a good thing right next to the highway. So we're trying to move them off. And we did it, and I don't know if it's called Smoky Bear, but we did it a little bit, you know, by Muddy Creek.
Yeah, no, so Smoky Bear is further down. I mean, I noticed on the plan, West Summit is slated to be no more.
Right.
Wow. That's a huge recreation area.
We're looking, okay, let's clarify here. We're looking to provide... other access than what's
yeah.
than the highway. So don't think that we're not And we're basically what we did with the Forest Service, they actually had to do an environmental assessment, and we're following their environmental assessment.
I saw the plans for what they're talking about for that Harrison Creek Smoky, and it makes sense. The challenge is like during winter recreation, it's great. We wave to the plow drivers all the time. They take care of us and make sure our parking spot, we have our access. That's if it goes purely to the Forest Service doesn't plow anything.
That's the challenge for us. Because for us, we can't go on somebody else's property and start plowing their parking lots.
Yeah.
We just can't. That's not our, technically it's illegal for us.
Because we have special use permits for people that use that parking lot to access rock climbing. That's going to be that access point slated to go away. And so it'll just be interesting to see how that all tumbles out in the next 25 years, 30 years.
He'll be retired by then.
I'll be retired by then. Good question. First, I do want to tell you guys, thank you for your service. You guys do a awesome job. It's a thankless job, actually.
Yeah, you got that right.
But, you know, without your guys' support for planning, this county wouldn't do so well. So thank you, guys. It really is. From the bottom of my heart, I know this is challenging to be up here and the time that it takes, but it is very important. It really is. So on behalf of the CDOT, we appreciate it. We really do.
And thank you for your guys coming.
Thank you.
And so from the library to 129, is there any plans happening there?
Not right now because our funding, measure.
Right, and then now, right, the...
So we're waiting for the lawmakers to decide. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. Don't know.
Yeah.
But our funding is pretty strong.
Yeah, I've got
it. It really is.
That's a shame.
It is a shame.
Did you have speed pamphlets for us?
Or? I got a speed pamphlet. I only brought one.
Are they online?
Yes, they are.
Do you have a drink? Drink?
I do.
Me too.
Did I give you the
thirsty?
I think it's up on your podium.
Really thirsty. Really thirsty now.
So what?
Thank you, Dan.
What?
This is. I'm going to give this just for you.
Thank you.
But what I will do is I'll send the electronic copy to the Rock County Planning, and they'll provide that to you the next time. It's actually pretty good. It talks about the law.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, how we establish speed limits. Speed limits. Anytime I talk to any local government, every time I talk about speeds, because it's an important issue, and I understand it, but it's a very technical for us, and it's amazing changing a 5 mile what it does to the roadway in terms of our designs and stuff like that. So we really got to pay close attention, and we want to make sure people are driving it. What it was designed for. That's always challenging. Okay. Any more questions?
Yeah.
Did I do that?
You did fine.
Yeah,
you talked a little bit longer than you should have, but okay. I'll get over it.
Thanks for your time. Well, hell, at least you're not going back to Grand Junction.
No, I'm staying in
that. Yeah. We really had to twist his arm to come up here, you know.
Bring your skis.
An excuse to come up.
No, I love it. I really do.
You go, Dan.
I'll go to the Holiday Inn.
Go to Rex's.
Of course.
You
can't go wrong with Rex's.
No.
So, Christy, moving on.
I have an administrator's report for everybody. So, our next planning commission hearing is December 20th. We have scheduled, thank you, a special use permit for Little Lamb Daycare in Pittsburgh. One item? What's that? One item. Correct.
Okay. I'll get an access permit.
So that is scheduled for the 20th, and then thereafter we have a joint meeting scheduled for January 18th.
Nothing on the 3rd?
Nope. And that joint meeting, I wanted to just briefly go over any thoughts or ideas of agenda topic items.
You want to talk about BRBOs?
What do you mean?
January, I'm sorry.
January 18th.
18th.
Is that a 13th?
Friday?
17th.
All right, 17th. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. So Thursday the 17th. So
this will be the new commissioner?
Yeah.
Yes. So she will be there, so that will be good to have introductions and to start the conversation. We were thinking possibly starting the conversation of updating the master plan again.
Why would we do that?
Wouldn't you just go out and see if it really needs to be updated?
There's a push for it. It's on our goals to even take a look at it, and whether it's, I don't think it would be an overhaul of it, but
who's
I think to check in.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think it's internal. I think you're saying it's internal.
It's
no.
From the commissioner's office. Chad and I had discussed, getting out there and checking in again.
But we did that in 2016, is my question.
We did, and there is still a push for checking in with the community.
So
that's
will there be a push when the new?
I don't know how the new. I don't know how the new commissioner will feel. So it may be an item on for discussion to have a general land use discussion.
Let's do it after.
After
new commissioners are.
It will be.
In January.
Yeah, that's the point.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be with the new commissioner.
Okay, but if we were to ask the group of new commissioners, do they still want to revisit it?
I'm not sure what the... I think
that's part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Well, I would throw out to Planning Commission, it's my opinion that the master plan does not need to be revisited since we just did in 2016. So therefore, as an agenda item, I'm not in favor.
Well, that'd be the agenda item. No.
Yeah.
Well, I'll
no,
say.
No, but why even have a goddamn joint meeting for something that we don't even want to discuss?
Well, the only value I'd see in it is, look at it, our position is we had the dog and pony shows in 2016. The communities, plural, thought it was fine. So unless somebody's going to tell us that things have changed in 2 years, yeah, why would we do that?
Well, but we know that one of the commissioners has been in favor of redoing the master plan.
But she's not here anymore.
But she's here now to put this on the agenda for January. That's
which is why I think we have the ability to say no. And let the newly elected Board of County Commissioners decide if they want to or not. It's not hard.
So do we need a joint meeting at all?
Oh, I think it'd be good to have one.
I think it's good to check in.
I don't know the topics right now. I think we should all...
Yeah. It was going to be a... basically, to lay out goals and projects. Some of the topics were complete and update. The county master plan was on the list. begin scope discussions for the update of the Upper Elk community plan, which is that's outdated. So that was 1999.
I don't know if anything's changed, but okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, the recreation and tourism chapter was 2004. I think there's a push for some long range planning. It's been a long time apart from, Stagecoach. For some of these plans to be looked at again.
Yeah,
and it might even... What's that?
And that was so much fun. You just want to do that again, right?
Well, and...
get surprises at every angle.
Urban growth boundary. Seems a little far-reaching to me.
What's that?
The urban growth boundary. How, there were some good projects that came out there and then agreed with the West of Steamboat plan, and then we couldn't even... consider because of the urban growth boundary.
Right. I mean, that's on the list to finalize and review the update to the West
Steamboat
plan.
It was within, but it was out there by Heritage Park and Steamboat 2 that wanted to do that store, and they wanted to do some things out there, but because it was within the urban growth boundary, it wasn't contiguous with the city, it was a non-starter.
Right.
But it would have been a good project for that community, and it'd be needed even more with the growth that's going on out there. But because of the UGB, the way it's, you know, the city has control.
Well, that's part of a joint adoption plan. So
yeah, but it was adopted a while ago, and it wasn't working. I don't think it's working.
Any other thoughts?
I'm sure if the commissioners have one or two, they'll be more than happy to email you.
Yes, they will. I said I'd just discuss it with you all and bring them a list. I can let them know your thoughts on the master plan. Troy.
Well, I mean, we just did it. It's not like that's 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to Steve's point, there was no problem. There was no change. There was nobody that showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Except Ben Bell and
Jay Gallagher,
but the one that wanted to change it was the VRBO guy. One guy.
Yeah.
Therefore, I think we're being dragged into something that has already been addressed.
Well, let's meet with the commissioners and see what.
I was just saying, let's be a little bit optimistic. That culture has changed.
They may agree with you, Troy. I'm not sure, but I think it's worth the conversation.
Well, here's
which
what
could be really short.
Well, but the opposite side of that coin is that you have a contingency that fills this freaking room, led by. A proponent to change the master plan, and then you got to deal with that.
Mm.
That's what I have no interest in dealing with.
Mm. But that's why we get paid the big bucks.
Said my piece.
You did.
Move to adjourn.
Done.
Are
you done?
One last item.
Yes.
Wow.
Do I have any takers for Board of Adjustment this Monday, Brian? I have two packets. Any takers? Yes. We are short.
I'm not well adjusted.
Come on, it's exciting stuff. It's a height variance in treehouse.
I think it should be relegated to people who live within 5 miles of...
Brian?
Brian is one. Yeah, that's good.
Jeff Pettis is the other one.
Yeah, Jeff Pettis on it.
Actually, it goes left. By John.
Unless you can work
like least time.
Yeah, this is true.
I've been on
Myrtle's
Pettis, so we're delegating
this
to Pettis.
Okay. He did step up last time. Thank you.
Last time.
Good job.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
just
want
to
go
to you guys all the way out.
Especially since he missed it tonight. He has to go to that one.
Be better than me
in the middle. 3 years
and 7
years. I always. All right. Thank you.